Welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Colette Smart, who is the author of They'll Be Okay, 15 Conversations to Help Your Child Through Troubled Times. Colette is a psychologist, a qualified teacher and author. Colette has more than 20 years' experience working in private and public schools as well as in private practice. She appears regularly on national television and radio as an expert in teen and family issues. Colette has taught and delivered psychology workshops and seminars around the world, and her seminars are grounded in current research as well as years of practical experience in both one-on-one counselling and schoolyard settings with young people. And she is a mum to three children. Colette, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Colette, as mentioned, the title of your book, the subtitle is 15 Conversations to Help Your Child Through Troubled Times. Do you see this as being troubled times at the moment?
I think it's more a reference to that every family will have troubled times. So I often say to parents, particularly because we're dealing with the technological era or technological age, I want to reassure parents and say, you know what, every generation has had their thing to deal with. Our parents freaked out because they thought we watched too much TV. Mm. You know, there was always the rock and roll scandals and so on in previous generations. So our generation of parenting has technology to deal with. And so it's not necessarily that times are more troubled because I think we look back at previous generations with rose-coloured glasses. What I just mean is I really want parents to have hope and know that when trouble does come up in parenting, as it does in all of our lives, there is hope.
So was that the main reason for your writing the book, to just give parents that hope and perhaps a bit of guidance?
Really is my main reason. Parents, just over the years, parents have said to me, how do we talk to our kids about some of the topics that we're not familiar with? We can't go to our parents and say, what did you do when I wouldn't get off my phone? Or, you know, when I was taking selfies and when social media was around. We don't have something to draw on that we have experience on in that specific area. Pornography is another big issue that this generation is facing to a much bigger degree than our generation did because it's 24-hour access. So really, when parents said to me, how do we have these conversations with our kids? That's where I realized sometimes parents felt a bit afraid or overwhelmed, and I wanted them to feel like they had some kind of toolbox they could go to and just give them some ideas for how to do this, and really backed by research. What does the research say works in these areas?
You say at one point that you need to have strong relationships in order to have these conversations. It's like the structure or the background. How do you build up these strong relationships that seem to be the key?
So that comes out of the fact that even the Australian Psychological Society put out a report last year just saying there's a recognition that loneliness is likely the next public health epidemic. And so for me, the antidote to loneliness is relationships. And the basis of relationships is learned in our homes. Our children learn connection. And there's so much research that shows when children have a connection to even one meaningful adult in their lives, even and especially, I should say, teenagers, who still need us desperately as much as they did when they were two, just in different ways. It's that relationship that creates resilience and develops resilience to some of the bigger life issues. They feel seen, they feel heard and known and loved by an adult. That really brings security to our kids. So that is why that forms the whole basis of my book, because I know it's what matters in our lives.
So I'm sure you're onto something with that loneliness, because I understand in the UK they now have a minister for loneliness. So
you're absolutely right. The UK has said the same thing. They are concerned that we are we've become more individualistic, particularly in the West. I actually touched on that a bit in the book. Individualism isn't all bad, but when we are more and more individualistic. They become insular, and it actually has a lot of mental health issues that come with that, and then physical health issues that come with that when we don't have relationships to connect into.
You mentioned that relationships may take time to develop. I'm just wondering, in a situation where there's a family breakup, no longer an intact family, that throws an extra dynamic into it, doesn't it, as to how do you maintain those relationships when you might see the child only, say, every second weekend?
Yeah, so that does, and that's something that we're seeing more and more in our generation. Not to say that past generations didn't have issues when families stayed together that were destructive. That had its own mental health and physical concerns for children growing up. But parents often think that, they say to me, but because I'm not with my child all the time, particularly dads, if mums spend the majority of the week with their child, they say, well, you know, I don't know if I've lost my right to speak to my children. Absolutely not. Even in areas like relationships, parents say that, you know, my relationship didn't work. How can I talk to my children? Does that take away my rights? No, you actually have something still to add, to talk about what you could have done differently, what went wrong, what you wish you might have done, what you see could be healthy, what was unhealthy. You can still talk with your children about some of the things that you did wrong in healthy ways. Children actually can learn from that. So it doesn't take away your right to invest in your child. You might need to be more creative, spending quality time with your child and spending one-on-one with your child, helping them know that you hear them and they matter to you in those times you spend with them. I think that's what's important.
15 conversations that are in your title and in your book, they're certainly very frank and very open in some of those. Do you think there are any taboo topics between children and their parents?
So I think the taboos come from us as adults. The research is saying that kids and teenagers are saying they want to hear from their parents about the big topics. And to us as adults, the big topics are sex and pornography. And we are not sure how to do that. We think our children don't want to hear from us. Where there's research that says young people regard their parents as their sexuality role models. Parents are often shocked when I say that because they think our teenagers don't want to hear from us about that. Kids are saying, we do. We want to hear from our parents. Our parents aren't talking to us. Our friends are talking to us, but we know our friends are tuning into the same broken sources as we are. We want a trusted adult in our lives who we feel is unafraid to approach those topics. And so our kids pick up on what not to talk about or what is not acceptable in our home by the topics we're silent on. And so if we want to our children to feel like we are trustworthy in these topics, we need to actually get over ourselves and just start talking about it, even if it's awkward. It's awkward because we never grew up doing that with our parents. And so we've got to learn a new way of how to do this better.
We're going to take a short break here. And we're speaking today with Colette Smart, who's the author of a new book called They'll Be Okay, 15 Conversations to Help Your Child Through Troubled Times. So we're going to listen to a story of a family that did have some difficulties, and this is a song by the Beatles called She's Leaving Home.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, as the day begins, silently closing her bedroom door, leaving the note that she hoped would say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching her handkerchief. Quietly turning the back door key, stepping outside, she is free.
We gave her most of our lives,
is leaving,
sacrificed most of our lives. We gave her everything money could buy.
his wife gets into a dressing gown, picks up the letter that's lying there, standing alone at the top of the stairs. She breaks down and cries to her husband, "Daddy, our baby's gone. Why would she treat us so thoughtlessly? How could she do this to me? She,
we never thought of ourselves.
She's leaving.
Never a thought for ourselves.
Oh.
We struggle hard all our lives to get by.
She's leaving home after living alone for so many years. Friday morning at 9 o'clock, she is far away, waiting to keep the appointment she made, meeting a man from the motor trade.
She, what did we do that was wrong?
He's happy.
We didn't know it was wrong.
And that was She's Leaving Home, a song today by The Beatles. And we're speaking with Colette Smart, who is the author of a new book called They'll Be Okay, 15 Conversations to Help Your Child Through Troubled Times. So, Colette, we were just talking about how to open up those conversations between the parent and the child. And the whole book, I must say, is full of tips and wise advice, but I was particularly taken with some of the 7 tips you gave for conversation, because you often hear parents saying, "Oh, my son just grunts at me," and I'm just wondering how you would say to draw them out into a meaningful conversation.
What I say in the book is that our children are always communicating with us. Often, particularly in teenage years, for some teenagers, that is a period of nonverbal communication, like their body language, the things that they're communicating through their mood or their emotions is still communication. We also think our teens aren't talking to us if they aren't babbling away in this long stream while we want to talk to them. But if we actually look at what our teens are doing, there are times that some teens will actually speak quite openly and freely. Some will speak in fits and starts and do what I call kind of a once-a-month download. They will arrive home from a party, usually at 5 minutes to midnight, and sit down on the lounge, and everything comes out. And parents are tired, and they want to go to bed at that time. It's during those periods we must learn as best we can to drop everything and tune in when our teens are talking. Also with our teenagers, they want to feel heard and respected. I'm not saying that we give them full run of the house. They're not adults. But we need to not put down or mock or ridicule some of the topics or ideas they want to talk to us about. Actually actively listen, ask them questions about how did you come to that point of view? You know, where did you learn that? Trying not to correct them all the time and showing them that we're open to their side of the debate makes them more open. And then also being prepared to listen to their long babble about their latest Fortnite game or something that we think is perhaps not very interesting to us. If we want to earn the right to talk to them or them to talk to us, we have to learn to tune in to the topics that are interesting to them so that we are able then to talk about some of the bigger topics that we might want to talk about at other occasions. So it's really changing our mindset on what we think about teenagers, they actually are talking to us a lot.
Yes, I think you get a little bit frustrated with some of the parents in your talks when you ask them what they want for their kids and a standard response is, oh, I want them to be happy or happiness.
Yes.
You're actually saying that's not enough.
I think we live in a society where we hold happiness up as the ultimate emotion. To live in a constant state of euphoria is not normal. It's actually not human. To actually allow our children to experience times of sadness, even anger at injustice, allowing them to feel fear sometimes and face their fears is healthy. So when our children moan or get frustrated about doing chores, that's actually all right. I moan about doing chores. I don't love it. And so we need to, you know, be okay that sometimes things are hard for our kids. And it's in some of the tough times that our children build character and learn their biggest life lessons. And if we're making things easy for them and trying to make them happy all the time, we're actually making them weak. And so, yeah, if our kids are not happy sometimes, if they don't get something immediately right now, the latest phone or whatever, well, that's actually okay. And we've got to learn to live with the discomfort in ourselves when we recognize our children are not always happy. And I do say, it doesn't mean I want your children to be sad. That's not my goal. But it's really recognizing that all emotions are important and all of our emotions are what make us human. And then helping our children when they are sad or angry, how to express their emotions in healthy ways. So ways that are not hurtful to them and also not hurtful to other people. So that's also important.
And I guess in that context, you talk about the rites of passage for our children that they really don't experience in our culture.
What would you
recommend for as a rite of passage for a child?
So I think it's really ways that you are creative as a parent. I think this generation, or even our generation, we kind of fell into adulthood and kind of had to figure it out and learn it. I think we need to be intentional with our kids. There's some great rite of passage programs out there. My favorite that I talk about is Andrew Lyons' work, The Right Journey. He does work in schools. But really, you can develop your own rite of passage with your kids. So when your children turn 12 or 13, you could make it a special occasion, take them away camping and talk again about the bigger topics. That shouldn't be the first time you're talking about those topics. I think kids, in my book, I talk about different ages and stages, and the big conversations are not a one-off talk. They are talks that happen throughout our child's journey to adulthood. However, I do think there's something about marking your child's entry into teenage years and marking your child's entry into adulthood at 18, making a fuss of it and deciding on what kind of things you might change or give them extra responsibilities at each birthday to almost mark that you are expecting a little bit more responsibility of them and giving them more responsibilities so that they learn, as I grow, I need to be more responsible or act in a slightly more mature way rather than just them thinking becoming an adult is drinking a whole lot and going out and being crazy with your mates. Growing up is also about responsibility, and those are things we must teach. They don't just happen.
And I guess in that context, modelling is very important. And one of the problems which you draw attention to is that dads, the image of dads in TV ads and movies is often dumb dad. You see these unintelligent dads who can't seem to work out how to turn on a dishwasher and things. That's not really very helpful if we're going to build up these relationships, is it?
Well, it drives me crazy because I've been married for 25 years this year, and two of my three children are boys, and my eldest son is finished school already. And there are so many wonderful men out there who are doing amazing stuff, and they connected with their kids, and they're still successful in their trades or their careers. They just do wonderful things, and yet we moved from this era when men did everything in TV and women just did the vacuuming to this dumb dad narrative where men can't string a sentence together, or dad even on Netflix shows are absent and don't even know what their teenage kids are up to. And we need to call that out to our kids and say that is not what good men look like, and show them, give them examples of good men in your family, whether it's their coach or a teacher or their uncle, and talk about those qualities. Good men also display emotion in healthy ways, so they don't lash out and beat their partners because they're angry. They're actually able to talk it out. They're sad when they're grieving. They're also happy, and they're affectionate, and they love their kids. And there are so many men who do this well. We just need to call it out to our kids so they can see what that looks like in their lives and see it modeled at home.
And the language is very important in all this, isn't it? I'm quite concerned about a government campaign where they say boys will be boys and turn it into a negative, whereas when I was growing up, if my mother said that, I think it, in most cases it would have been a positive.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Boys will be boys is sometimes, or often actually, used to excuse poor behaviour. You know, when a boy hits a little girl at school, then people will say, oh, well, he likes you. And that's actually teaching kids, well, it's okay to smack someone or pull someone's hair to show affection. But I also don't believe that a 25-year-old young adult man should still be acting like a boy. So I do think there's a time in our boys' lives, particularly with my son who's now out of school, I expect him to act differently to his 11-year-old brother because he's a man. And so I expect more from him than I do from my 11-year-old. So it's not that we don't expect boys to grow up and be responsible, but the terms like boys will be boys can sometimes be used as an excuse for poor behaviour. So we've just got to watch how we use that language.
Is that an example, perhaps, of relationship intelligence growing, where your boys who are now, or your boy has left school, he's perhaps got a different relationship intelligence now that he's reached that stage?
Yes, and so relationship intelligence doesn't just drop into your lap the morning of your 13th birthday or your 18th birthday. Relationship intelligence grows with our boys and our girls, and so we, as parents, we model that. Dads have an amazing role. I talk about some of it in my book, but how dads have this amazing role in teaching relationships to their sons and daughters. You know, they even have this role in teaching when they're close with their daughters. Girls can actually be more assertive and more self-confident in refusing to have sex when they don't want to when they're older, or refusing to be emotionally dominated by a partner when they are secure in their relationship with dads. So dads have this unique role in their lives with their kids that teach relationship intelligence, and that happens over your child's lifetime to adulthood. They learn through their dads what it means to be a man, what it looks like to be a man, how men treat women. They learn that by being modeled that and shown that through their fathers.
And we're speaking today with Colette Smart, who is the author of this new book, They'll Be Okay, 15 Conversations to Help Your Child Through Troubled Times. And there are all sorts of tips and wise, practical ideas throughout this book, which we thoroughly recommend. But we've reached the stage of the show where we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. So, Colette, would you like to tell us which song you've picked and perhaps why you picked it?
So the song I've picked is by Creed, and it's With Arms Wide Open. And that was actually the song that my husband chose for my eldest son when he was born. And it just spoke about him wanting to be the model to this little baby boy that we had. He was our first child. And it was my husband's heart of being a good role model to my son. And I really believe my husband has been that. My husband lives out what a good man looks like, I believe, in our kids' lives. And I think my eldest son is a product of his relationship with his dad. So it's one of my favourite songs.
Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life is gonna change. I close my eyes, begin to pray. Then tears of joy stream down my face. sticker by my side. We're standing on, we created land. We're on wide open, under the sunlight. Welcome to this place, I'll show you everything. We're on wide open, now
Arms Wide Open by Creed, which was specially chosen for us today by our guest Colette Smart, and that's a great story as to why you chose that particular song. Don't forget, if anyone would like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, you can go to our website dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me now to give a special thank you to our guest. It's been great fun talking to you. Colette Smart, thank you very much for being on Dads on the Air.
Thank you. It's been a wonderful time spending time chatting with you.
And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.